This is a previously recorded episode.
This show is broadcasting live from the Podcast Detroit studios in Royal Oak, Michigan. For more information about the show or our network, please visit www.podcastdetroit.com.
Coming to you from the Detroit Sound Studios above Active 8 Gaming, it's The Undercard. Bringing you the best in hand combat coverage with feature interviews, major events, and the hottest ring girls from around the nation. The Undercard is part of the Podcast Detroit Network. And now, here they are, always in your corner, Brad, Marv, and Jimmy.
Welcome to The Undercard, everybody. Officially, what are we, episode
206?
206?
206.
All right, 206. But more importantly, it is Jimmy Pache's birthday.
Ow, ow, ow!
Yeah, it is.
He is 40.
57 40. Years old.
No, I'm 40.
Oh, sorry.
I'm 40. Don't make me older than I need
just,
to be.
I was just going by how you look.
Oh, well, then I look, then I'm 20, man.
You're dead. If we go by how you look, I have seen corpses that look better than you.
That is true.
The Crypt Keeper from Tales of the Crypt.
Speaking of which, they're bringing that back. I heard they're bringing that back.
As long as they do the lame ass puppet.
Yeah.
It can't be like CGI. It's got to be.
Well, I mean, they can like make the puppet better, but it's still got to be a practical puppet.
No. I want it to be that shitty ass puppet.
We're probably gonna be.
And you still gotta have John Kaiser do the voice.
Well, everything about the Crypt Keeper needs to stay the same.
Yeah,
that's all I'm saying.
A really bad puppet
with John Kaiser as the voice.
Because that was part of the charm of it. You know, you go making it too good, then nobody wants to watch it.
Right, exactly.
So
you can't CGI it like Yoda. I mean,
don't get me started.
So throughout the show, we're gonna tell Jimmy how much we like him and wish him happy birthday.
Oh, I'm gonna have to recuse myself right now. If we have to tell him that we like him, I got nothing to say.
We did have a gift.
I'm just kidding.
We did have a gift for him, but we didn't get a chance to get back home and get it.
I don't need a gift.
No, you'll get
your next week. Your guys' friendship is my gift.
No, you'll get it next week.
I'll send you a card.
I'm sure you will. It'll be full of bag of you know what.
Well, we got so much to talk about. We took a week off last week, much needed, and a lot has happened.
It was weird how we all called in sick. It was
weird. We're just like, you're not in, you're not in. I'm not going to be there. We got to talk Cubs playoffs. We got to talk that.
I recuse myself from that.
I recuse myself from that.
There was.
Why are you showing us your boobies?
Showing the undercard.
Yeah, I'm not looking at that.
We got to talk the presidential debate.
Oh, goodness.
Because the debate happened since we were.
Well, and the vice president debate was tonight.
It never happened. Oh, the debate never happened. Trump, he did not get up there. He did not talk.
No, he won. What are you talking about? He won.
No, it didn't happen.
Or he would have.
You can ask him. It never happened.
Or it would have if they hadn't given him a bum mic.
Right, yeah. Because his mic didn't work.
Oh, we should do that all.
We have Abby Ewing is going to be our guest.
From Dallas?
No, Abby Ewing.
You never know. She might be JR's illegitimate child.
So we're going to talk to her. She's like a 15-year-old training for MMA. The reason I wanted her on the show is that we're starting to see people that train now their whole lives. Just like my son is baseball like almost year-round and will be year-round baseball. You're starting to see now because it's been a sport for a while, people that start off at a really young age and that's it. It's going to be MMA. And when it's time to be an MMA star, they're going to be MMA. So Abby Ewing, who also trained with our good friend Amanda Bobby Cooper, has a fight in Dublin, Ireland. Is it Dublin, Ireland or what part of
ABC?
Ireland? Yeah. It's a part of Ireland. But she's trained with her. It's got a great up and coming story, some kickboxing results. We're just going to talk with her a little bit and talk about this new way we're going to see people coming in which that they start at a really young age, 8, get to about 15, 16, because you can't have your amateur fight until a certain age. And we're going to go from there. But she's going to be our guest at about the 8:30 mark of the show.
It's Belfast.
All right, Belfast. And so she's going to be at 8:30. But we do got to start off. We're going to start off boxing. It's been a while since we've actually talked boxing, I believe. But Tyson Fury, I mean, he's just all over the place right now. In case you aren't aware, and we'll just go back, Tyson Fury beat Klitschko in a very boring fight, won his titles. There was a rematch scheduled. Tyson Fury hurt his ankle. Hurting his ankle, the second time it was rescheduled, it came out that he was unfit to fight.
Oh.
And now Tyson Fury has tested positive for cocaine.
Uh-huh.
Retired on a tweet. Went a tweet after and said, I didn't retire. You can't get rid of the Gypsy King that easy.
Are we sure that he's not just John Jones in disguise?
John Jones is much more fit than Tyson Fury.
Well, but he's got to put the suit on. So, right. I mean, you know, he's going to be a little bit bigger, you know. He's got to wear stilts and, you know, yeah.
I made that prediction a while back on the show that I didn't think Tyson Fury would win the rematch. I thought almost like Buster Douglas, the success would get to him and he wouldn't be in shape and wouldn't. But clearly he's on a downhill spiral because he's now admitted not only did he test for it, according to – and I'd have to get the source here really quick. He has now admitted to doing cocaine. Now it becomes a serious issue because you don't want anybody – forget about fighting. You don't want somebody to possibly do harm to themselves. This is according to BoxingScene.com. Tyson Fury admits, I've done lots of cocaine, not trained in months. So now it's become a much bigger issue than just is he ever going to come back to boxing. It's can he get his shit, you know, correct and not become a disaster.
I'm sorry. I was looking at like different websites or whatever that talk about Tyson Fury and the – the headlines are always interesting depending on where they're at. So from it's from the UK. I can't find out which one. But Tyson Fury admits he has taken lots of cocaine. And then there was another one that said Tyson Fury admits to taking I hate this. Lots of cocaine, but insists he's never used any kind of other drugs.
Wow. Is that supposed to be better?
I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, that's
Tyson Fury admits to cocaine and alcohol binges.
That's like, yeah, baby, I did screw her, but I've never screwed any Chinese girls.
Yeah. Like, I screwed her, but she's a 10, but I've never done anything less than a 10. Like, yeah, like what?
I want to see Tyson Fury get up there and go, yeah, but I didn't inhale.
Yeah, right. he did, though, because cocaine by its very nature.
I didn't inhale.
So I think it's
– you had Tyson Fury 25-0, 18 of his wins coming by knockout. I didn't think Tyson Fury would be, like, carrying the torch for the heavyweight community too long. But it is an interesting story. And now if you're Klitschko, you're never going to get to avenge that loss. His belts will be stripped because of this cocaine test.
Uh-huh.
And he's really got to get his life back in order.
And then worry about boxing
if boxing comes along. And you remember his press conferences and him jumping in the ring. His behavior has been erratic of late. It doesn't surprise me. But the clear thing when you saw him, there was even a press conference with Klitschko where he was making fun of Klitschko losing to him. And he was showing his gut. He's like, how do you lose a fat man like this? And clearly he wasn't working out then. So we wish Tyson Fury to get better as a human being. And then if boxing comes around, that's great. What it means for Klitschko is he's got to move on. It's a loss he can't avenge. It's not like Klitschko is young. He is super old. Sorry, Jimmy, he's your age. And it's just, you know, it's coming.
Said Brad is like a month or a year behind.
Hey, that year matters.
Right? You're 39, right? Yeah. Didn't you just turn 39?
Matters all the difference.
Well, no, not really.
Okay.
No.
So
you're going to get a finger in your bum just like the rest of us.
So that happened in boxing. And that's all I care to comment on. I just hope somebody gets better. And Jimmy would agree, and I'm sure Marv would agree. You hope he mentally gets healthy and can be a productive human being in life. The boxing thing always takes second when somebody has an addiction problem.
Yeah, absolutely. You want him to be healthy first, but, you know, I mean, unfortunately, as we've seen, that kind of national stage or world stage or whatever, you know, if you're weak and can't say no to stuff, things like that happen.
And then to become a champion, it's a different mindset. I don't care what people say. I'm not saying from experience, but obviously in the past you've seen it with Buster Douglas, and Buster Douglas's wasn't drugs. It was eating and weight.
Right.
Like some people, when you're no longer the challenger and everything's given to you, champion, you have more money than you ever known what you're ever going to do with.
Doors, you lose the hunger.
Yeah, and there's a lot of opportunities out there. Mm-hmm. I mean, cocaine is now not affordable. You know,
cocaine is a hell of a drug.
Yeah.
Okay.
The whole Rick James bit, Rick James, dude. That's classic.
You're shooting the drugs.
Okay. Drugs are bad.
Drugs are bad.
But cocaine is a hell of a drug.
It is.
But so that's
Charlie Murphy.
That's happening. We're just waiting now for Kovalev versus Ward. Canelo and Golovkin have fought their fights. And now we're just waiting for which should be a good fight. I know. There's a little fruit fly floating around my
How long till we find out that Canelo's on the peyote?
Nah, he won't. He's too clean, dude. He strikes me as a guy that dedicates every second to becoming even a better boxer. That's just an outside observation.
Peyote makes you a better boxer.
But we're going to wait for Oh, my God.
What'd you say?
I said peyote makes you a better boxer. You heard it here first.
I was going to say, I thought you said ask Nick Diaz. I was like, yeah, well.
okay, that's what I said then.
Sergey Kovalev versus Andre Ward. So that's the next big fight. Let's move on to some MMA before we get into general topics that have happened over the last 2 weeks. It's been revealed that there is like this little club of people that have small investments in UFC.
Well, it's not a little club. These are people.
Well, it's a big club with little shares.
These are the people that are actually represented by WME, who then went to them and said, "Hey, you know, we've just bought the UFC. Do you want to do a little of investment?" And all of them, I think anybody who they reached out to went, "Yeah." So, I mean, freaking Conan O'Brien now owns a part of the UFC.
Yeah. Mark Wahlberg said, "Yeah, I'll invest in UFC. Say hello to your mother for me." That was like his exact quote. And that's how that happened with Mark Wahlberg.
Really?
it was one of the best skits in there.
I know.
We'll get to
And Tom Brady said, "How do you deflate UFC gloves?"
Right, exactly. How can I? Yeah, exactly.
Really quickly, not to get aside, there's nude pictures of Tom Brady going around. Did you? There's nude pictures of Tom Brady going around. He was on vacation and somebody snapped nude pictures.
I'm sure we know what's deflated there.
Oh, boy.
No, really, you just have to blow on it.
Marv had that joke waiting for you.
I didn't actually. I had no idea that they were naked.
About. So no name idea. Off some people in this club. Conan O'Brien.
It was Conan O'Brien, Ben Affleck. Tom Brady.
Affleck.
I'm actually trying to pull it up right now.
Wasn't it LL Cool J, too? I want you to get it
LL,
all right, though.
Yeah, LL Cool J is in there. Tom Brady. Ben Affleck. Affleck. Not Affleck.
Mark Wahlberg.
I don't know. Woody Allen's probably in there somewhere.
All right. Oh, wait. Okay, hold on here.
Mark Wahlberg.
Mark Wahlberg and your mom.
All right, it's 23 celebrities.
That is an elite
trying to
group.
Find.
That is an elite. Does it say how much they invested?
It didn't say. Okay, because
I'll throw $5 at him if I can be like I'm invested.
Ben
with,
Affleck, Michael Bay, Tom Brady, Rob Dyrdek.
That's skateboarder. DC.
Okay,
you can't say that.
Guy Ferrari. Oh God, hold on.
Wait, the chef?
Yeah. Flea.
The Flamer Show?
Yeah.
Flea.
Abel the Weekend, Testafay, Calvin Harris, Anthony Kiedis, Jimmy Kimmel.
Anthony Kiedis. Oh, so Anthony Kiedis and Flea were like, you going to go in on this?
Yeah. So Chad Smith, the drummer, got shafted. Once
right?
Again, no one cares about the drummer.
Jimmy Kimmel, guys, Robert Kraft, Adam Levine, Lee Na, LL Cool J, Cam Newton, Conan O'Brien, Trey Parker, Tyler Perry, Maria Sharapova.
Oh, God. How long till it's Tyler Perry's UFC?
Sylvester Stallone, Mark Wahlberg, Serena Williams, and Venus Williams. are all the ones that were named.
It is definitely an eclectic group.
Yeah, it really is.
I'm going to tell you.
But these are all people that are represented by the William Morris Endeavor.
Exactly. That's the, that's exactly it. They went to.
They're all A-listers, too.
Well, yeah, I mean, all it was. Well, like, these people.
Some of them.
I'll bet you that a lot of them found out that they were invested when they read the article because their financial person just said, yep, that's what they pay a financial guy for.
Yep. Right.
And he said, this is a good investment. Let's do it. And then.
Right. However. This it really did lead to I don't know if I can pull this up here, but Conan O'Brien said that now that he owns the UFC, he's going to have a fight. The next fight of Conor McGregor is going to be him.
That was a great Conor McGregor.
Great Photoshop job that somebody did.
Yeah,
too.
They did.
It
yeah,
was, it was awesome.
Battle of Ireland.
The Battle of the Irish. Right. Exactly.
That'd be cool.
No, it
not
wouldn't.
Really. No, 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 it would. End
I like Conan O'Brien. I don't want him to develop like a lisp and a speech impediment. And
but another reason for Marv to hate Tom O'Brady, but I think that's a pretty good
Tom O'Brady? His name's O'Brady now?
Oh, yeah.
He's not Irish.
Stick on the Irish shit. Well, Brady is.
He is not Irish, sir.
Oh, Robert. Okay, I didn't know who Robert Kraft was. He's CEO of the Kraft Group.
Yeah, oh, Boston.
And he's also the New England Patriots owner.
He's from Michigan, I think, too.
Yeah, New England Revolution owner and New England Patriots owner.
No one cares about the MLS.
Lonnie is a former professional tennis player.
Who?
Lonnie. Lina.
Well, let's get back to the Red Hot Chili Peppers here. It's bad enough bass players and drummers don't get girls. After the show, right? They don't get a chance to invest either. Like, it's just, you know,
they don't have the money.
Fuck, man. Yeah, probably.
I don't know. I had a dream about Jeff Ament one time.
Oh,
no. Tell us about it. Yeah. In great detail.
A little Pearl Jam.
Me and Tracy would talk about it once in a while. Not your Tracy. Yeah, but.
Tell us about it.
He's aged really well.
In great detail. Don't leave anything out. Describe everything. Nope.
So that was UFC's big news, and then they had a huge press conference in which Conor McGregor pretty much attacked everybody. It was great. There was a moment. I'm trying to think of the MMA fighter that decided to speak when Conor was speaking, and he was like, "There's even shirts that say, who the fuck are you?" Because he doesn't say fuck, Ray.
Right.
And it says, "Who the fuck are you?
Who the fuck are you?"
Yeah, exactly. If you can get the soundbite. He just put that little guy – all of a sudden, like, the guy was like – like, you know, like his moment of 5 seconds was gone. But he's like, hey, who the fuck are you? And then said he would take everybody's belt. And I'm going to put one belt here. He had a rowdy Irish crowd. It was just an unbelievable press conference.
Irish crowd is
actually
redundant.
Actually, it was. All right. No, it wasn't actually, who the fuck are you. It was who the fuck's that guy?
Yeah. You got to hear the
who
audio.
Who the fuck is that
hold
guy?
On, I got to pull it
well,
up.
Well, now
it
he's
might
saying
be...
that he's going to retire after UFC 205.
All right, we're going to see. This might be a little bit long, but.
Honor, take a look around you. You got a lot of champions, a lot of grizzled vets. Who do you think would give you the hardest fight out of anybody on stage?
Right here, the hardest hitting 145 pound, the real hardest hitting 145er, right here. This guy TKOs people. When I knock people out, they don't fucking move. They're not. Who the fuck is that guy? Who the fuck is that? You know damn well who I am.
Who the fuck is that?
Jeremy Steffens is the fighter.
Oh my god. I don't know. When I take that guy's belt.
Leprechaun.
Oh good.
All right.
When I take that guy's belt.
That's fucking awesome, dude. You gotta say he has amazing showmanship.
He does.
At the end of the day,
he
he's
really
got
does.
That it factor that Floyd Mayweather has. Yeah. I mean, it's just he's hot. But what would you say, Rochelle? News, he says he's going to retire after 205?
Yeah, due to strained relationships.
Strained relationships?
Wait, who?
Conor McGregor.
I have a theory, okay? And this is the theory. And I talked it over with our friends who do the wrestling show on Podcast Detroit. I just all met the Monroe Comic Con this past weekend.
Top Rope Review.
Yes. I have a theory that he is going to find his way into wrestling. Very soon, after a couple fights. And they brought up good concerns. They said that CM Punk, when he was a wrestler, was about like 220, 230. And he had lost a lot of weight. So when they watch CM Punk in MMA or have watched video of him, they think he looks grossly thin. So the big thing is Conor McGregor. Is he big enough walking around at 176 to look like he's a wrestler?
Yeah, he looks like a luchador.
Yeah. So I think that's where he's going to head. Yeah. I think it's
absolutely
probably a done deal. He says he has a big announcement. I think it's
I mean,
no, that's what they're saying, that it's right after
205.
No. Oh. He's just saying that the featherweight champion apparently has a big announcement out of left field to make, according to Dana White. There's no official word yet as to what it is, but they're saying that his teammates at SBG Ireland have stated the stress of press conferences, media, television obligations, and training in addition to fighting have put a strain on McGregor's relationships back home.
Man, that's like running Apple records and then finding out the Beatles leave. I mean, Dana White does not want fucking Conor McGregor to leave.
Right.
I mean, that's just that. That's everything right there.
That's going to be after his title fight with Alvarez.
And that's in New York, right?
Vegas.
That one, 205? Oh, okay. I thought he was fighting in New York.
Maybe.
I could be wrong.
I don't know.
I could be wrong. But that's that's November our talk 12th. On boxing and MMA. We do have to move on to... what has happened in these last 2 weeks? There was a presidential debate.
I don't know if you would necessarily call it a debate.
God, he was bad.
Because a debate implies that a person states something and the other person refutes it.
Not true.
Then the other person refutes it.
Where'd you hear that?
Using facts.
Wrong.
Where'd you get your data?
And numbers.
Who said that?
Wrong.
But
what?
Trump.
No.
Decided to do what Marv's doing right now.
No, I didn't.
Warmer.
No, he didn't.
Warmer.
Yeah,
warmer.
Alec Baldwin.
That was the best.
Dude, Alec Baldwin doing.
Oh, my God. Hold on.
It was spot freaking on.
He's amazing.
He has the mannerisms, everything.
When he comes out with the face, and then you're like, okay, right. He's got the look. And then he did it.
And right. the two best lines were warmer.
Right.
And when he said it, when they stop talking, their mouth looks like a butthole.
Yeah.
Do we have any sound clips? I know they
taxi made warmer.
Yeah, it's going to take a second. It's got to load up.
Absolutely, political season helps.
Wait, do you want the sound clip from the actual debate or from SNL?
No,
from
SNL.
Oh, okay. Actually, how would you know the difference?
Yeah, that's true.
Because you know what,
they sound so much like him.
I know.
Oh my God.
Hold on. It's pronounced Gina.
It's so funny, too, because, you know, it is satire. But at the same time, what the hell was Donald Trump talking about Rosie O'Donnell?
I don't know.
At the end of it.
Well, then you're not going to play the whole thing, are
no,
you?
No, I'm going to jump.
Good
I'm going
to
skip
from
here.
Oxford University, I'm watching, going to cream your jeans.
All right. So, like, hearing it, like, it totally sounds
Senator
like Trump.
Clinton, let's begin with you. Why are you a better choice than your opponent to create jobs and put money into the pockets of American workers?
Well, Lester, my opponent's tax plan benefits the top 1% so much. It's not just trickle-down economics. It's, I don't know, I guess if I had to call it something off the top of the old dome with no prep whatsoever, I don't know, I guess I'd call it trumped-up trickle-down economics.
That's very catchy, Secretary. You just came up with that just now.
I did, right off the stiff red cuff.
Hey, jazz man, I've got a very presidential answer for this. Our jobs are fleeing this country. They're going to Mexico. They're going to China.
China.
I will stop that. If Hillary knew how, she would have done it already.
Skip
period.
Ahead.
End
yeah,
of story.
I'm skipping
I will
ahead.
Not debate. I stayed calm, just like I promised, and it is over. Oh, my microphone. They took it to Kenya.
Now pause it really quick there. Pause it. So the satire joke there is that people thought Trump did good for the first 30 minutes, and then it just went downhill. So the joke is, hey, you know what? I think it is, and they're like, hey, there's more time to go.
Right.
Because people are like, hey, you know what? He's doing all right. And then it went
– Well, right. and the great thing about it is if you were watching it, like, you can almost see the point where Hillary Clinton realizes, oh
– yeah.
Because, like, you're right. For, like, the first half hour, she was, like coming back at him and, like, arguing back and, like, well, no. And then I think it finally sunk in where she was like, he's just going to fucking bury himself. So she just stopped and just let him go.
I want to see if I can find the clip.
Well,
here.
Yeah.
I think it's the next clip.
Yeah, hold on.
And you hear that? It's picking up. Somebody's sniffing here. I think it's her sniffs. She's been sniffing all night. Testing.
No, it's past
Gina,
this.
Gina.
Oh, I think it's the next one.
Huge Gina.
It's
Secretary Clinton, what do you think about that?
I think I'm going to be president.
All right, hold on.
She decides, in the sketch, she cuts it off after he says, he basically says, Donald like, Trump the blacks, and she's like, oh.
He makes bad decisions. He's spent his life cheating middle-class laborers. Laborers like my own human father, who made, I guess, drapes, or printed drapes, or sold drapes, or something with drapes, and he was relatable, and I am also relatable.
Mr. Trump, same question. Why is your judgment better than Secretary Clinton?
Because it is. I have the best judgment and the best temperament. She's the one with the bad temperament. She's always screaming. She's constantly lying. Her hair is crazy.
Here comes.
Her face is completely orange, except around the eyes where it's white. And when she stops talking, her mouth looks like a tiny little butthole.
Secretary Clinton, you have 2 minutes to respond.
Oh, that's okay. He can have my
chance. There it is.
Okay, Mr. Trump, 2 more minutes.
The thing about the blacks...
The look on her face, too, it's just like...
They're killing each other.
Oh, goodness.
That's her old shit.
But I'm telling you, if you just...
All on one street.
You could just play... If you just listen to it, right? Yeah. Like, not... Like, I would be like, oh, yeah, that's Trump. That's
Donald
Trump.
Well, the thing is, so typically Saturday Night Live... over exaggerate stuff, but the part where he's saying she doesn't have a good temperament, that's actually from a line where he said, I saw her behind somewhere yelling at somebody, and I was like, that's somebody that doesn't have good. What the hell
like
was he doing?
He said the words, I have a better temperament, and then, like, if you recall, like, he did, it was a childish. He was like, I was going to say something very terrible about her family, but I didn't.
Exactly. I took the
I was like, is he really saying this right now?
Oh, it was so bad.
It was so good, though.
So.
And Lester Holt, like, I was like, I thought, I'm fairly certain
he had
Lester
no
Holt,
control.
I'm fairly certain he just got up and left and, like, went and took a poop at
no
some point.
No control.
Because I was like, where the hell is Lester
Holt? So what's
Holt?
The format of the second one? Because that matters. Is it like a town hall meeting? They
My
change
question
them up a
was,
little bit.
You didn't hear what I said. Why is your judgment any different than Mrs. Clinton?
Well, I have much better judgment than she does. There's no question about that. I also have a much better temperament than she has. You know? I have a much better...
Like that,
she
okay,
spent,
that, it's important to note that is not Saturday Night Live. That was the crowd at the debate laughing when
he
said that.
Madison Avenue into a room. They put names. Oh, temperament. Let's go after... I think my strongest asset, maybe by far, is my temperament. I have a winning temperament. I know how to win. She does not have
Secretary
to win.
Clinton.
Wait. The AFL-CIO the other day, behind the blue screen, I don't know who you were talking to, Secretary Clinton, but you
there
were totally out of control. I said, there's a person with a temperament that's got a problem.
What he's referring to, like, like basically I saw her arguing with somebody at a mutual event, and I'm going to bring this up because this is going to get me closer to the presidency. Right. Now, in all seriousness, the Detroit News – endorsed Gary Johnson.
Yes.
Yes, USA Today.
Yes.
When for something they've not done in 38 or 39 years.
34 years.
Yeah. Do not vote for Trump.
Yeah.
We endorse Gary Johnson. How does this guy now with endorsements of newspapers? There should be a third podium. Gary Johnson should get a chance to debate these two.
Absolutely, but that's never going to happen.
But it's crazy because the media has turned on Trump so bad. That, like, if you're not for Clinton,
right.
He's got to be your guy.
Right. Well, here's the other thing, too. I found
you're saying Gary Johnson has to be your guy?
Well, I mean, you could be Jill Stein. He's the only one that has 8%. Like, when they do polls right now, he's coming in at 8%.
Yeah, no, I'm just trying to make sure I understood what you're saying. So you're saying I can't vote for Trump and I don't like Clinton. Gary Johnson is my guy.
No, I'm just saying if you really want to rattle and say third party, he's your guy. He's the guy that's going to get 8%. 10% maybe do some damage. If he gets in a debate, possibly 12%.
He's not getting in a debate.
No, that's what I say.
Honestly, it would be
but
to
that's
his...
a shame if newspapers are endorsing him.
No,
he
does not want to be in a debate.
No,
I'm sorry. The guy is a moron.
No, I know. But we just heard.
Unfortunately, he
we
is.
Just heard But couple morons on a debate.
I get that, but the last thing Gary Johnson, if you want
to
see his,
not want him
if you
want to
see his
8%
fall to negative 17%, put him in a debate.
Yeah, it would be to his detriment if he basically opened his mouth.
And that wasn't the only good skit Saturday Night Live did. They did a Family Feud.
They did
a Family
with
Feud.
Robbie. Yeah,
I only saw that one.
They did one with the Trump family.
Yeah,
and then
well,
the Clinton
it was
family.
Trump's family and supporters.
Yep.
So you had Chris Christie. You had his campaign manager.
Ivanka.
You had Margot Robbie playing his daughter. And then you had somebody playing Vladimir Putin, which I thought was hilarious. And then on the Clinton side, you had Sarah Silverman, Bill Clinton, played by Daryl Hammond again,
which
I thought was awesome. Yeah. And then they had
somebody playing Sarah Silverman? Or
No. Yeah. It was somebody playing Sarah Silverman, yeah. Okay. But these were the people who support Clinton. It was Bill Clinton, Sarah Silverman. I forget the other person, and then they had David What's-His-Face doing Bernie Sanders, who did a fantastic job at
it. Oh, he does a great – Larry David.
Larry David. Yeah, it was amazing, and it was funny as hell.
Good SNL from start to finish. Not a bad one. Yep. Good start to the season. Obviously, we're going to have fun during the political season with SNL.
You know what? Honestly, this is going to sound terrible, but I almost kind of want Trump to, like – win just so that Alec Baldwin can keep playing him on SNL.
No, God, Jimmy.
That's like getting cable, but your house has blown down. Like, I mean, it's just like you don't.
Well, we're screwed no matter who wins. Let's have some fun.
No, I agree.
Yeah, but I think we're majorly screwed if it's him.
Well, we're majorly screwed no matter who wins.
We're not as majorly screwed if it ain't him.
This is what I am.
You really think? Okay, listen, I as I've said many times, mm-hmm. not necessarily Hillary supporter, but you think she will fuck this country up as bad as he would?
I don't think that she will. I think that what will happen is if he doesn't win, the supporters who supported him will start a revolution.
No, they will not.
I see a second succession happening or trying to happen.
Not based on Trump. Mm. No.
Because here's the thing. No. After the debates, I even saw people on my newsfeed who said, you know what? Trump did not win the debate. He is not fit to be president. But if he doesn't win, it's revolution time.
People say that every single time there's a presidential election. I'm telling you that the people who are supporting Trump couldn't start a revolution to save their lives.
Here's the thing that
– it wouldn't let the people – it would be the people who are too extreme and the, quote, more moderate people, they're not going to follow
that. I know.
You'll probably have a few – you may have a few extremists that might get some coverage.
Right.
But you're not going to actually start a revolution based on Trump.
I see some succession talks happening if Trump doesn't win.
You know, it's Texas, and Texas talks that
way. Well, no, I
every
see
time
than,
a Democrat is in the lead.
I don't
– and quite honestly, I say – I would be in full support of a goddamn wall if you left Texas out there. Yeah. If you put the wall up on this side of Texas, I will lay bricks myself.
Jeez.
Just give it back to Mexico.
What it does encourage, though, is people that if Trump isn't your person or Clinton's not your person, to research the rest of the ballot. There's a lot of people that are running that are Republican and Democrat that want nothing to do with Trump or don't want Hillary's endorsement or are not supporting Hillary. Find those people and help those branches of government, because we're going to be messed up in the executive branch.
That's really the thing. Like, and that's really the way it should always be. Like, everybody, like, you're not electing a king. Like, presidents don't make laws. That's why Congress is able to get away with what they get away with.
I know, because here's the thing. When my son's growing up, somebody gives the gift of presidential flashcards. This is how I view it. One of these two idiots is going to be on a presidential flashcard for the rest of their lives. You're going to be going 41, 42.
But my point is, like, what the elections that really matter are the ones that nobody goes out for.
Right.
And Congress, until people realize that, Senate, like Congress are the ones that make laws. People think –
like, it comes up every year. I'd say this year's probably the one that has come up the least, but like, well, I can't vote for that person because they're against or they're for abortion. The president can't do jack shit about abortion.
Right.
Right.
Okay? The closest he can do is put somebody on the Supreme Court that might go his way.
And sometimes – well, I mean, it is an old group of people, so but there's I'm just, a good
like,
chance
But
that...
people think that, like, the president, like is running – like, he – okay, but, he has veto power.
But you got people in other countries looking at that person as being the representative for everybody in this country. And they can look at both of them and just, like, shake their head like they're all idiots.
Well, yeah. They're saying that about us, though. I mean, the citizenry, because we're the ones putting these morons in office.
As which we will.
And we like Jordache jeans. Or that 1980s.
Well, I was going to say not since like 85, but okay.
When Jordache was popular in Russia.
Bring over Jordache was popular in Russia like last year.
We like Jordache jeans. Bring us your Jordache
jeans.
Bring us Jordache jeans and Walkman.
That's why.
You bring us Jordache jeans, like, Walkman, and Cubs World Series t-shirts.
Oh, no.
But we don't have any. We don't have any Cubs World Series t-shirts.
No, well,
those are the ones. Those
print,
are the ones that they get printed and then they ship them off to the countries because it isn't true.
Didn't gonna happen.
We're going to talk a little bit about that later.
No. Nope.
Over in Leningrad, they're wearing Jordache Cubs World Series champion t-shirts.
Nike's with the swoosh the other way.
Yep, right. Drinking Zima.
Zima. Hey, Zima was
terrible. All right, terrible. Zima was awful.
Hey, give me a Zima. Where's the beef?
Carbonated liquor.
I don't even think you can call it that. It was clear beer.
It's carbonated liquor.
I don't even think it was liquor.
It was malt liquor.
Was it?
Yep.
I thought it was. No, okay. Yeah. Either way, terrible.
Let's go to our first break. We are playing selections from Jimmy. It's his birthday. But we're also playing some Cubs good luck songs as officially the baseball playoffs start tonight. But the Cubs don't play till Friday because they did have the best record this season.
It was a clear malt liquor.
It was clear malt liquor?
Clear malt liquor.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, you would know more about it than I would.
Wasn't it a 4-pack, too? Was it wasn't a 6-pack. I think it came 4-pack. All right. Well, we'll be back in a few minutes. Enjoy the Cubs songs.
This is a previously recorded episode.
Thought we were going into Center Field by John Fogerty.
All right, we were through.
Nope. All right, here we are.
Well,
so,
make sure we're on.
Not that we should all stare our mortality in the face with you turning 40, Jimmy, but I was thinking of show prep as I was driving to Ann Arbor and back, and I thought, at our age, because we're all about the same age, there starts to realize some stuff. And the one thing I wanted to bring up today is, what do you realize at 40, Jimmy, that you won't see in your lifetime? And to me, it's like people on Mars.
See people on Mars.
Yeah, I'll see people on Mars.
Yeah.
I don't believe so.
I don't think we'll see.
We won't see them come home.
We won't see. I know for sure. Like, I won't see, like, us going to another star system. Like, you know, like they're talking right now. NASA's got this idea for this drive that will get people to our nearest star system in like 2 weeks, which I think is great, but it's not going to be done in the next 40, 50 years.
In 2 weeks?
Yeah. They basically
come up with a warp drive.
They basically found a way using a certain drive to warp, like the fabric of space time.
Well, I mean, that's been theoretical for a while.
They've done it on a small scale.
Well, they have that
EM drive.
Well, yeah, the mag pulse. That's not that.
Not that. Yeah. No, this is something completely different. But they've actually did a very small working model. And it was able to bend space-time, and the particle was able to travel faster.
Oh, they've done
it
on a particle level. Yeah, I'm saying.
But, like, now they're, like, working it up. Yeah. But it's going to take, I would say, probably another 100 years before it's an actual practical working machine.
Well, until the aliens actually show us how to do it. True, yeah.
Another thing I thought, flying cars. We'll never see it. And my son will never see it. A lot of that probably September 11th, what happened. But I don't believe for sure in our lifetime we'll see flying cars. And I could bet that in my son's lifetime, who is much younger than me.
I don't even know that it was – yeah, I think you're right. I don't know that it's practical to have a flying car.
Right, but we're not going to see it. Yeah. But it was always promised to us in the future, flying cars. But so those were the two that I don't believe life on Mars. I don't think we'll see it.
I don't think we'll ever see contact with an alien race.
Whoa. Who says we've not made contact?
Well, yeah, okay. Theorizing that we have not yet made contact, I don't think we'll see it in our lifetime.
Trust no one, Agent. Pache.
Yeah, whatever.
Trust no one. Rochelle,
the
what do you think?
The truth is out there, dude.
We're all in the same age bracket. What do you realize now that, shit, I won't see that in my lifetime?
Well, I don't sit and dwell on it, but no, the flying cars thing was right up there. But I'm okay with that. I don't trust people on the road, let alone trust them in the air.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah. That's why I don't. Yeah, that's why I say it's not practical.
Yeah, no. A car crash up in the air would mean also a big crash on the bottom.
Ah. Like,
well, yeah.
You know, a fender bender up there could take out a whole neighborhood.
Well, that's what I've always said about, like I fly. Don't get me, you know, it's not my, I get somewhat nervous sometimes, but, like, people are always like, well, statistically, it's safer than driving your car. And I'm like, but it's all or nothing. True. Right? Like, if the engine of my car stops, I pull over to the side of the road.
Right.
I call tow truck and they come get me. If the engines on my plane stop, I plummet to the earth and crash.
There's a movie out called Sully.
It might. Yeah.
There's some odds.
Well, okay. Well, then I guess I need to go everywhere via the Hudson River. If I'm flying over a mountain, however, and the engines on my plane stop working, I crash into the mountain.
Right.
There's no pulling over and calling AAA.
Very true.
Although that might be a really easy way of, you know, population control.
Flying cars?
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure prisons, drugs, and the inner city are the government's.
No, I'm talking like population. I'm talking
control.
Like worldwide.
So am I.
Well, then why do we have billions of people in certain countries?
Because you do need a certain workforce.
Well, I think they've gone over.
Somebody
the
has to mine the diamonds that are going to be put in the vault held so that the price
for
of diamonds can be driven up.
Right.
Let's just assume flying cars would happen in our lifetime, right? As technology progresses, some people have iPhones quicker than other people. Some people had the internet before other families. Can you imagine being the asshole on your block that had the first flying car? People would be like, there goes Snyder again, fucking a-hole. Look at him flying around there. Yeah, you don't have any traffic yet. I mean, somebody would have to be the first.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're just flying around looking at traffic down there going, man, that looks shitty.
I think by the time it got to our neighborhoods, it would probably be more prevalent.
Yeah.
I think the first asshole to do it would probably be Elon Musk, and he ain't in my neighborhood. Like, I won't see him. Oh, there goes Elon. God damn it. You know, like I wouldn't have the choice. I wouldn't have the opportunity to be like immediately jealous of
him. Right. Yeah. Like Elon and Bill Gates and like all those type of people.
Trump.
Yeah.
Littering from your car would be a felony because you could clearly kill somebody. Right. You throw a bottle out at, you know, so many feet. It comes down going fast.
I would also assume, though, like you probably – I would hope you wouldn't put your windows down.
Cabin
pressure. Depending on how high and how fast you're going, that cabin pressure is a motherfucker. You know what I'm saying? Like, you open that window, it ain't just the bottle that's going out. You know what I mean?
What else do you guys think we wouldn't see? I mean,
this is one of those weird questions, right?
We were promised a lot.
But, like, we don't even know what there could be,
Star Wars
be, right?
Has promised,
like,
us a lot.
So go back 100 years and tell somebody that, you know, we would – go back 100 years and tell somebody that, like, we would all be connected, like, through the air.
Well, I
– you know what I mean? Like you don't – like, that's not even anything they could even fathom.
True. I do.
So who knows what we won't see?
I do believe, whether it be Virgin Airlines and Richard Branson or somebody, I do believe that there will be commercial space flights, maybe a few a year, in which people that are really rich can fly into a little bit of space and then come back down. I do believe that we'll see.
I think that's happening now. Like, if you have like half a mil, you can go up and
– No, you don't even need that. You need $70,000.
Is that what it is?
You go up on this balloon – it's got a capsule underneath it.
Oh, yeah.
You go up and you come back down, but you actually go into space.
Yeah, yeah. But I'm talking about, like, there's the one. It's like
a balloon, like a hot air balloon.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, there's the Virgin. I think it's the Virgin guy. He has, like, Matt Damon or somebody signed up for it. It's like half a mil and you go up in a ship.
Yeah.
You don't, like, go, like you, it's basically the same kind
of
thing.
Of course,
like,
you're
not going to, like, the space station or anything, but, like, you go up, you see the curvature of the Earth, like, I'm technically in space, and then it lands.
Yeah. Okay. I don't like the hot air balloon approach. That's not me. But I don't know if I'd even want to do that. Didn't Lance Bass – didn't we try to send that NSYNC idiot up there and leave him there? And then, like, he didn't qualify or something, or Russia didn't want to take him up anymore?
Yeah, he tried to pay Russia to do it, but something happened. I don't remember what it was.
Yeah, NSYNC's career dried up, and he probably didn't have the money to pay.
Well, I think he was going up after NSYNC anyway.
After NSYNC.
Any more? You got Rochelle? There's got to be tons because I got seven more. I just don't want to control the whole conversation.
I think about more of the stuff that we have now that we won't have then. Like just I think about Halloween and how much has changed since we were kids and how much is going to change in the next 10 to 20 years.
Yeah, that's going by the wayside. Halloween is going to be gone.
Trick-or-treating.
Yeah.
Holiday is huge. It's bigger than Christmas. Right,
but trick-or-treating, it's going to change. Trick-or-treating will not exist as we did it. I'm going to say within the next decade.
Right, that's what I'm saying. Like that's the stuff I think about because I see my kids growing up and already, you know, they're like we take them out for like 45 minutes. It's drizzling and they're
the houses
like
turn off their lights.
Yeah, and then there's like three houses on the block that have lights on. They don't start now they're starting, you know, when it's still bright sun out.
Right.
4:30.
Yeah, I get home from work at like 4:35 o'clock, and like there's kids out. I'm like, right. What? Like,
well, and not only that, but like my girlfriend, her oldest daughter is 9, and she for the last 2 years she hasn't gone trick or treating.
Trunk or treats.
No, she doesn't like trick or treating at all. She likes handing out the candy.
Oh well, and there's a lot of my kids did that.
And there's a lot of kids that I know that are like that, where they actually prefer to stay home where it's warm and hand out the candy
because they're lazy
kids.
And they can have their phone in their.
Well, that too.
No, yeah, and it is weird. The funny thing is, like, yes, kids are changing. Because was it 2 or 3 years ago? My wife got microwave popcorn.
Mm-hmm.
Like things to hand out, right? Mm-hmm. And I was like, "What are you doing? Like these kids are going to egg our house, right. And like we're the people giving out the shitty Halloween right. thing,
let
right?
Me guess it was the biggest.
Those kids went ape shit, dude. Like I the first or second kid came up, I handed it to him, and the kid lost his mind.
Well, you think
he's
about
like,
it.
Oh my god, he's like, guys, they're giving out popcorn.
Well, you think about it. Like, when we were kids, I used to walk to the store because I had a dollar in my pocket. To go, I'd walk up to the store like, 7-8 blocks just to get candy.
Yeah.
Now the kids just, they have it. Yeah. It's like prevalent to them.
I guess. I was just blown away.
And so
I was
like trick
really?
Or treating isn't that big a deal.
Right.
They don't have to worry about it. Especially if you got brothers and sisters, you got one of them going out getting the candy, then you're all set.
Well, I do not give, like if you want something, have your ass here. I don't do the whole, well, we have one at home. Well, put a fucking bag on its head and bring it out here.
Now something.
No. What I'm saying is that you got my oldest son. He doesn't go trick or treating anymore. Of course, he's 15, but he's got his brother and sister that go, and he gets there.
Oh, he just takes some of theirs.
Right.
Okay, I thought you meant because I could not believe how many parents we actually haven't handed out candy the last couple years, but up to then I could not believe how many would show up and be like, oh, we have one at home, and I'm like. Well, he doesn't get candy then.
Hell, when my kids were infants, they were out trick-or-treating.
Right? I'm sorry. I'm not. No. Get. And if you're 15 and just show up in a hoodie, you're not getting anything either.
Nope.
No, really? He plans on going this year, but he's taking
his brother.
You didn't
put a costume on. You're 15 and you just showed up in a jacket. Yeah, I'm not giving you anything.
No.
Get out of here.
Him and my middle son, they're going together as something. They're both going as like Assassin's Creed characters.
It's something.
Okay, yeah.
But, like, you're not going to show up
But he's going to taking the kids out, but he's still dressing up to take the little ones out.
And that's fine. That's fine. Actually, you should. If you are, you know, it doesn't matter if you're a parent or an older brother or sister. If you're going out trick-or-treating with the little ones, you should dress up as some kind of thing, make some kind of effort, too. What you were saying, Marv, though, I used to... when a kid and a 15-year-old kid would show up with like a hoodie or whatever, I would say, "Okay, wait, hold on a second. You gotta wait for another kid your age to show up." And when they showed up, I would grab a handful of candy and go, "Now fight to the death. Whoever wins gets the candy." And they would, if they even remotely looked like they were gonna fight, I go, "Never mind," and just give it to them. But they had to work for that shit.
What I wanted to do was get like something lame, like if you showed up
pennies.
Without.
Yeah.
Well, not, like, I wanted – actually, I wanted it to be
– Give him a beanie baby.
No, I wanted it to be almost punitive in some way.
Okay.
Like
coal?
Like, no, like if you showed, like, I wanted to, like, pour liquid into your bag or something. Oh. You know what I mean? Like, if you show up with no costume, you're 15, and you're right. Like, give me something, I want to pour, like, lighter fluid in your bag. So now I've ruined all the candy that you have.
You
know, get off
you
my
can't
porch.
Tell, you can't tell which kids are older anymore because of all the chicken nuggets
true,
they
yeah.
ate. They're like 10 feet tall
I
anyway.
Know.
Well, actually, honestly, it doesn't matter to me how if you don't have a costume on, get yeah. the fuck off my porch.
Right, exactly. Yeah, they don't get them if they don't have costumes.
You know what else is disappointing, too, is so the Concorde plane, you know, was retired because it was too expensive. People couldn't fly it. But since Howard Hughes developed modern – the way the airlines work, we don't get faster anywhere. That's amazing to me that we don't have – sure, the technology's there because I've been on planes where they've made up time in the air. They're not going at capacity. But why don't we try to speed some of that up? Like, really? The Concorde was a revolutionary plane. It got you there, what, in 3 hours and 30 minutes, I believe?
Got across the ocean, yeah. In like
right.
3 hours.
Supersonic speed. Why isn't that being developed?
It got across the ocean in less time it takes for you to drive to the UP.
Right. Right. Well, the reason for that is the human body. You can only go so – if your body is not used to going like X amount of Gs, like you don't want your passengers on a commercial airline to pass out because
Concorde
they're going so fast. But I'm saying
it was still, it wasn't pulling massive. It was
right.
It was barely pulling like what? It was barely pulling over a G.
It was just barely a G. But if you go faster than that, then you start worrying about losing consciousness.
Okay, well, let's get planes up to what the Concorde was at. We should have the technology.
So you're
to do
saying
that.
You're saying make all commercial airlines
let's,
fly as fast as the Concorde.
Let's pick up the pace.
So you're willing to pay $1,500
right,
to fly
and that's
to California?
The other thing
do you really think now technology that would
yes.
be the case?
I'm telling you, that's what the airlines would charge. Yes.
I know, but would that really be the case?
Well, but that's what they would charge. I mean, I'm sure the technology
whether
is there.
Or not,
sure,
whether or not that's what they need to charge to cover their costs is irrelevant to how much they will charge.
That's my one regret. I never went on a Concorde flight, and I remember.
I remember when it landed in Metro. Like
yeah,
I was at the airport watching. And,
yeah, Concorde was fascinating. It was just absolutely cool.
It flew weird too. Like it.
Yep,
like
and
it flew
it had
like,
a nose that went down so the pilots could see,
right.
And then the nose went up
to,
for the aerodynamics and stuff. But that's something that's disappointing. It seems like what used to be still a 3.5-hour flight is still a 3.5-hour flight. Not much has changed in that regards.
No, I think that probably has a lot to do with physics. I mean, Jimmy's right. It has to do with physics and the human body. Like you can't, like you can't pull those kind of G's, dude. Like, talk to people who. Well, talk to pilots, but talk to people who have, like, won, like, a trip to fly with, like, a Blue Angel.
Yeah.
Well, I know.
You know, and, like, they hit, like, 3 Gs, and the person's just like, you know. They're just, like, there are plenty of videos on YouTube where you see, like, the person's like, oh, this is awesome. they're just like, boom, done.
Yeah. Lights out.
All right, let's do What's on Tap with Jimmy, and then we're going to go to another commercial break. Don't forget we have Abby Ewing at 8:30, and we'll be back after What's on Tap.
Jesus. Sorry, that was loud.
I know. All right, once again, this is What's on Tap, sponsored by Falling Down Beer Company. There's really not a whole lot going on in the boxing or MMA world. This week, first of all, in Glasgow, Scotland, we got Ricky Burns versus Kirill Rilakia. 12 rounds for Burns's WBA junior welterweight title. In Las Vegas, we have Ashley Theophane versus To Be Announced.
Yay, there he is!
10 rounds, junior welterweights. And then we have Ronald Gavril versus To Be Announced. 10 rounds for the super middleweights.
He's everywhere.
Moving on to MMA. All we really have is UFC 204 Bisping versus Henderson 2 in Manchester, Greater Manchester, England. And that's pretty much it. So once again, that's What's on Tap, sponsored by Falling Down Beer Company. We're going to go to a couple of songs, and we will be right back.
This is a previously recorded episode.
Welcome back.
You got to turn the mics.
I'm Gathy.
Well, anyway.
Welcome back to the undercard.
I just turned those off.
Episode 206. celebrating Jimmy's 40th birthday.
We're talking during the break, we were talking about the signs that you're old.
Yeah.
we were saying that like Jimmy just took a drink of hard root beer,
yeah,
and then just like started burping. He's like, oh, I love that root beer, but it makes me so gassy. Like that was like such an old man thing to say.
And we were talking about like how like we remember like our parents turning 40, yeah, and like how old they were, and now we're like, man, they're like young, but like now, like
we're making,
you feel like you're almost the same age because you start making the same noises.
You do
the same like, creaks.
Absolutely,
you get up and you're all, yeah, it's like, oh god, or like you sit down, your shoulder pops, and you're just like,
oh god, yeah, like, oh, it's just like, oh,
my hips,
you know, like you'll think of something like, oh, like you, like as no, or like back in the day, it'd be like, right, no thing, like, oh, I'll go do that, but now you're like, oh, that's like a 2-day recovery time. I don't.
No, it's even worse. What's even worse is when you start like, oh, I'll remember that later.
Oh God, yeah.
And then 5 minutes later, you can't even remember.
I used to have a memory like a steel freaking trap. Yeah. I really do think I had a photographic memory when, yeah, I was younger. Now, yeah,
no
shit.
I know.
I can't remember. Like I will have conversations with somebody.
Yeah.
Walk away and go, what the hell did I just talk to them about?
It's like there was an old Jim Brewer comedy sketch or whatever where they were on a show called like High Times or something like that. Yeah. But one of the things is like, okay, for the win and the $1 million, what were we just talking about?
Absolutely.
And
yeah.
I think you could actually do that with.
Is that the headphones or is that the.
Yeah, same thing happened to me.
Oh, like, the left ear went out, yeah.
The right ear went out.
You have your headphones on backwards.
There we go.
Wait. No. I'm going to guess it's the headphones.
Happened. It's a technical guilt glitch.
I don't know what happened. Anyways. But yeah, you could have the same thing with like people our age of like, what were we just talking about?
Seriously.
Yeah.
I have my headphones on back.
It's embarrassing. Like it's happened at work. Like I'll have a meeting with somebody, then I'll get back to my desk and I'll be like, crap, I was supposed to remember something.
Right.
And I got to email them and be like,
oh no.
I got to email and be like, oh, hey, just clarifying what we discussed.
Well, no, that actually happened to me on Thursday of last week. One of our salespeople said, okay, I have a bed set up for Friday. And I went, yeah, okay, sure, no problem. Forgot to write a note for myself. On Monday, the lady up north goes, hey, did you guys deliver a bed on Friday? And I went, oh, mother bus bucket. Yeah. I forgot all about that. Yeah, exactly.
Speaking of like years and stuff like that, Vin Scully, the voice of the Los Angeles Dodgers and Brooklyn Dodgers, just retired. 67 years broadcasting the Los Angeles Dodgers. I would say
he started when they were the Brooklyn Dodgers.
Brooklyn Dodgers, that's what I meant. What did I say?
You said Los Angeles, which they are.
Yeah, and he started with the Brooklyn Dodgers. So, you know, Ernie Harwell, I'm not sure how many years he got in, but – you know, those people seem to have the best memories. Vin Scully's stories, having listened to him broadcast and stuff, was great. I couldn't figure out 67 years. They would all run together. I might remember the championship years and stuff. You're a hockey fan, Marv. Bruce Martin. Do you remember Bruce Martin on WJR?
Oh, God.
Bruce Martin and Edwards. Mm, or not Edwards. Paul Woods.
No.
Bruce Martin did it before King Cal.
Okay.
And he just had, you know, great voice, did it for a lot of years. And I think that announcers become a part of people's lives. And it's kind of sad Vin Scully's, like, retiring. I mean, he's 88 years old. He has every right to retire. But
you should. If you're 88, you got to get out of there.
But, you know, every town has somebody like that, an Ernie Harwell, a Vin Scully, that become part of their, you know, listening thing. And I love broadcasters, you know, and I never pretend to be a broadcaster in boxing and MMA. I've been compared more to like the Don Cherries and stuff, like critiquing, and that's fine. But like, I love broadcasters. And so we got to tip our cap to Vin Scully, 67 years in the business doing it, being part of people's lives and
that's
broadcasting.
As long as my dad's been alive.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
Think about that.
Yeah.
And that was his career.
And my dad is old.
Nah, 67.
He's listening, so that's fine.
67's not that old.
So.
But Vin Scully, Ernie Harwell, it was a sad when he got fired the first time, and then they brought him back. But that was sad when, you know, he got sick and,
yeah,
you know, because Ernie Harwell became a big part. play some Bruce Martin. Find Bruce Martin for Marvin. I'm sure
Martin. Okay.
In Red Wings, and I'm sure you knew it. He was the one that was like, he shoots, he scores.
You said he was on what, WJR?
Yeah, that's where the Wings were, the WJR.
Yeah, I never really listened to games. I watched them, so.
Yeah.
All right, hold on. I gotta plug this in here. Give me a second. Okay.
He had a great voice.
It's a commercial.
It's fine. I won't remember him because I never listened to games.
You might.
Well, you might actually remember this one. I specifically chose this one. Because of its significance. So hold on one second.
Oh, no, he broadcasts a lot of bad news.
Konstantinov from the blue line with a shot wide. Lindros takes it off the boards, clears it ahead. Brindamore lays it off to the side. Here's Zimina up over the line.
Yeah, I guess.
It's
knocked
away. Lindstrom broke that one up, and the wing set back again.
Did you say Konstantinov, by the way?
Yeah.
Rice. Buck so bounces back into the Detroit zone. Konstantinov took a hit from Brindamore, still made the play on it. Dug off the boards now and cleared ahead. Here now is McCarty up over the line. McCarty got by his man. He scores! What a play Darren McCarty made on Michel Petit and then pulled Hexton.
I would have enjoyed it more if it had been when McCarty beat the crap out of Pruitt.
That was McCarty goal, the 1997 finals.
97.
Game
okay.
four.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. So if you know about the 97 finals, it goes pretty much like this. King Cal had the job, but they let Bruce Martin, because he had so many losing years of doing Red Wing hockey, they allowed him to do the second period. I believe King Cal did the first and the third period, and they allowed Bruce Martin to come back. But Bruce Martin, iconic voice and stuff like that. Yeah. You know, it's going to stink when Don Cherry is no longer around. I mean, Don Cherry, I grew up hockey night in Canada, hockey and everything like that. So Bruce Martin, how I know Bruce Martin is my dad would always leave the games early, like 5 minutes. And so we'd catch it in the car on the way home the rest of the game. He was one of those guys that let's beat the crowd, let's beat the crowd, let's beat the crowd. Yeah. So Bruce Martin, that's how I remember Bruce Martin. But Ernie Harwell was another one. There's a ton of them. But Vin Scully, hats off to Vin Scully. 67 years, man. I can't picture myself doing the same job 20 years, let alone 67 years.
Well, but the thing is, though, is like, I mean, obviously he loved what he did, right?
And true.
As the saying goes, if you love what you do, you never work a day in your life.
Right, so, exactly.
I mean, and when you think about it, like, he got to see, like, every hockey game, right? Like,
right.
If you're, like, what better job is
baseball
there?
Game.
Or I'm
baseball.
Sorry. I'm sorry. I was thinking of yeah, like, I mean, if you're a fan, like, what better job is there, right?
Right. No,
like,
I...
Like, it's my... Like, I'm sorry, I have to be at the game.
Right. And me and Jimmy have talked about this. To me, radio is still, like, freaking phenomenal. I don't know. Not what we do in podcasting and stuff like that, but the... Listening to a game on the radio, if you have not the means to watch it, is still awesome, especially baseball. Hockey's not too bad. Basketball's horrible for it. Football's okay. But... to me, I don't know. It's honestly, an art. It's an art form.
I think hockey is probably the best game to listen to.
It is.
Because there's more action.
Skating
in
left to right.
Right? Well, it's not.
I like that, though.
But it's not, though. I mean, if you're a good broadcaster, there's excitement to it.
Right.
Right? Like, you bring the excitement to it. Because in that game, there is constant motion.
Right.
You know, I mean, yes, I'm not the biggest baseball fan, so you can say
no, we know that
sour grapes or whatever. But like, I'm sorry, like to listen to a baseball game on the radio, I can think of nothing more boring.
Oh, that kills me, man.
There's even watching it. There's so much time just standing around. Now I've got to listen to people standing around. Good God.
No. There's typically stories in between.
Oh, he threw the ball.
No, and then I'll tell you a little bit about what's happening. You
little
know.
Known fact, he poops before every game. A big, giant, squashy, grapefruit-sized turd.
Oh, good God. No.
What was that sketch where – what was the sketch where – oh, God, what was it where – was it just a – oh, it was Hank Azaria with the where his wife left him and remember that? I think it was just done like on like Funny or Die or something like that. But it was like, do yourself a favor and look that up. It was good. Little known fact.
Wait.
Not more than 2 hours ago, he had his dick in my wife.
Oh, good.
It was something like that. It was like he like loses his mind about his cheating wife. It's awesome.
I think this is, yeah, I think this is it. Hold on.
What up here?
There is some strong
that
language.
That ball is well hit to deep right center field. That one is gone but not forgotten.
I think if you ask any baseball fan when it comes to great announcers, they're going to mention Ernie Harwell, Jack Buck, Vin Scully. But if you ask broadcasters, they're probably going to, a man, say Jim Brockmeyer.
You cannot fill out a top five without mentioning Brockmeyer.
Jim Brockmeyer, hands down, best ever.
Oh, you can stick me in some kind of Italian boat because that one is gondola.
We hear about people being old school. Jimmy was old school.
He always wore that same plaid jacket, always had that same red tie.
Fresh cut flower in the lapel, take me out to the ball game at the top of his lungs.
I mean, Brockmeyer's style was ahead of its time. All that stuff we did back on the day in Sports Center, throwing in cultural references, catchphrases from movies. I mean, we were ripping Brockmeyer off left and right.
Nifty Graham fires over to second, and you complete me. And that misses for ball four, and Robinson says, I'm walking here. I'm walking here.
He loved The Godfather.
Two, three references a game.
Here comes the 0-2. And, oh, Michael Corleone says hello. So, folks, two outs, bottom of the fourth. Balzini's a pimp, could never have outfought Santino. That one could be trouble. Spine giving chase, so is Young. And, oh, look how they massacred my boy.
Some of the references were so out there.
Oh, man, the way Vasquez is going, Mama better make some more of that moist cake. Oh, Wilmer Valderrama, that must have hurt.
What the hell is he talking about?
What I remember most, though, is his classic sign-off to his wife at the end of every game.
Little popper to the left side, Newman settles under it, and Lucy, put supper on the stove, my dear, because this ball game is over.
The guy truly loved his wife.
Now it gets good.
That's what makes what happened such a shame.
So there are a lot of different versions of this story that have gone around in circles.
He was going to the ballpark and then realized he had forgotten his lucky scorekeeper's pen.
And so he turned his car around, went back home.
He opens the door and there's Lucy on the kitchen floor with another guy.
There's just these indelible moments in sports. Kobe getting 81 against Toronto. The O.J. Bronco chase.
And without a doubt, Jim Brockmeyer's cheating wife game.
So Morales having himself a great season. Wouldn't be at all surprised if my wife had her lips wrapped around his Johnson at some point. Oh, that one's way back. I can't see the ball. It's either out of here or lost inside my wife's big, fat, cheating vagina.
Sad.
So we'll go to the top half of the f***ing whore. F*** you, bitch. Now, why don't you calm down, Steve? Some guy's balls disappear inside your wife. Good Lord.
Plain and simple. Jimmy Brockmeyer had a breakdown on the air.
Come on, join in. Take your c*** out of my wife's c***.
So Brockmeyer got fired, obviously.
He was gone. There's no coming back from that. But he's an announcer, and that's what they do. They announce.
And that's what Jimmy did.
Oh, God.
Nothing doing here at the park.
He's just sitting in a park by himself.
Yeah. Well, that's the best part anyway.
Yeah, so. Yeah.
Oh, wait, actually, no, the very end. Wait, hold on.
Cheesy, beefy feel to it.
There it is.
Reminds me, this poop is brought to you by Antonio's Pizzeria.
Wait.
Still nothing. Brockmeyer, one of the few back-to-front wipers in the league. Very, very unconventional. Okay, dabbing at it. First likes to dab at it. Still nothing.
All right. Oh, my God.
Let's go to our last break. Yeah. And Abby Ewing on the other side.
Yeah, I sure hope that 15-year-old girl was listening.
No.
This is a previously recorded episode.
This show is broadcasting live from the Podcast Detroit studios in Royal Oak, Michigan. For more information about the show or our network, please visit www.podcastdetroit.com.
All right, let's go to our first guest of the evening. Next week's show, really quick, it's looking pretty good. It looks like we're going to get Darren Crushank next week. I'm going to call it on it. And then Antonio Wade, I believe, is going to be joining us.
Awesome.
So, but right now we're calling Abby Ewing.
JR's great-great-granddaughter.
I'm assuming.
Hi, Abby. This is Brad. You're live on the undercard. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. We are joined by Abby Ewing, who is 15 years of age. We talked a little bit about this off the air and is training to be an MMA star. But you come from a martial arts background. So let's first off talk about your background in martial arts and tell everybody, we like to educate our listeners, why you're not able to fight yet because of your age and how you're developing MMA right now.
Okay. Well, I started with the age of 9, and I was first just joined to get some self-defense because when I was younger, I didn't know how to protect myself. So since then, I never looked back, and I've just been fighting because I love it. And ever since then, it's just been a journey that I loved, and that's what I want to do when I get older.
Now, you come from Portage, Indiana. What are the requirements for you to get some amateur fights in an MMA? What's the age?
Well, you have to be 18. And basically, it's just the age, a certain weight group. I fight at 130, so the only thing holding me back is my age currently right now.
And you trained with our good friend Amanda Bobby Cooper. She's been on the show lots of times. And so you're kind of like just filling in stuff. And what I'm trying to get at is back when the sport started, people would be like, hey, I'm a firefighter. And when I'm a firefighter, I became an MMA person because someone said to fight. We're starting to see a generation now. Wolfie Steele was a guy from jiu-jitsu that have trained their whole life. Tell us about this generation that's coming up that is preparing to go into MMA. It's almost like having your kid year-round in baseball now or year-round in football.
Yeah. Well, I just think that this sport is growing, and I think women's MMA is really going to spread. I think girls are starting to finally blossom in the sport. I think girls my age are finally seeing the path that Ronda Rousey and Gina Carano has paved for the girls in the UFC. So I think a lot of girls are taking the chance at this one-lifetime opportunity. And I think it's just personally amazing how many girls are trying to finally get into the sport when it was mostly just men fighting back then. So,
now you said you started taking martial arts at the age of 9 to learn how to defend yourself. So at what point in time did you decide that you wanted to do MMA? Like MMA was it. This is what you wanted to do.
Probably the first year was the feeling out of the sport. At first, I didn't really get the hang of it. I was just doing it for self-defense. And then when I started finally getting good at it, starting getting the hang of it, started training with higher top people, fighters, men, then I started getting a passion for it. I started getting a love for it. And I guess probably around the age of 10, about a year it took to get me into it.
So who are your who are your heroes? Who do you emulate? Who do you want to be like?
I gotta say my top girl fighter would be Gina Carano. Okay. She was really big inspiration for me when I first started out. She was like the main girl that paved the way, like before Ronda Rousey did. Mm-hmm. And my favorite guy fighter that I know personally that I train with once a week is Eddie Wineman. He's very, very good at the sport. He comes from a good background, and he's this overall amazing fighter. So I'm glad to train with him and glad to know him. So,
now you mentioned your favorite female fighter was Gina. You know, obviously Gina's onto a movie career now, and she didn't get to reap the benefits of UFC having a women's division. As a fan, do you wish Gina would come back and try, or you kind of accepted that she's moved on to movies? Because, I mean, that's the bad thing. Gina paved the way, but then now everybody's reaping the benefits. I'm not saying that she's not doing well with these movie contracts and being in Deadpool and stuff, but I kind of wish I would have saw her in the UFC fighting a little bit.
Well, I can understand where she's coming from. There's an age that you get to when you kind of lose the love for the sport, or when you're just not capable physically to do it anymore. I think I'm glad for her decision. I'm glad anything she supports, I support in whatever she does. But I would have liked to see how she did in the UFC. I think she would have gone far. But I totally respect her decision, and I love her movies and whatever she does.
Now, do you, excuse me, do you prefer, within MMA, do you prefer the stand-up game or do you prefer the ground game? Which are you better at and which one do you prefer?
Personally, right now, I think I'm better standing because I just do kickboxing and Muay Thai fights currently right now. That's where I came from, like my background is boxing, kickboxing, and then I started getting into the groundwork when I started blossoming in the sport. But overall, I think my stand-up's very strong. I'm starting to get a very strong ground game too, transitions and everything. Overall, it's getting to 50-50, but right now, currently, probably my stand-up would be the best.
Now, you just celebrated a birthday, right? September 20th, happy birthday. Jimmy in the studio. Thank you. Just turned 40. He is nowhere near your youth.
So in your mind as a 15-year-old, how old is Jimmy? And you can be honest. Be honest. Like,
be honest in my sport.
As a 15-year-old person, he's 40. That's like 2.5 times your age. I want to know, like, in your mind, how old is Jimmy?
Probably over 100 right now.
Yes.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that was that's the best right. answer. That was that's the best right. answer.
So how I feel right now.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, so, no, I was just going to point out the obvious advantage of you starting so young is that I think sometimes people rush – I think gyms rush people into amateur fights to see where they're at and then work on stuff. You're able to well-round. You got another 3 years if the rule is in Indiana 18, but I believe there's other states that might let you fight a younger amateur. But you have a little bit of time here to get the rounded-out fighting profile that some fighters don't do because gyms will always challenge them to get those amateur fights in to see where they're at.
Mm-hmm.
I just got
Brad,
a question,
I answered
Brad.
It for you.
Yeah, I was going to say, Brad sometimes just likes to show off how smart he is.
And he'll just talk if you don't stop him.
So really, like, as far as, you know, like, I guess the you want to say if there are prejudices or whatever, like in the sport, like you kind of have two strikes against you. You're underage and you're a woman as far as like in a man's sport. Right. Are you? Do you already see any of those like things like working against you? Are you already seeing some of that, or do you think it's kind of going by the wayside already? Are you or do you have full support, or are you running into like, oh, you're just a girl, or yo, you're too young?
I think personally, everyone supports me, like all the guys in my sport. I mean, it's mostly girls are starting in sports, so. It's more of an understanding. I think the guys are starting to finally feel that the girls are going to kind of be 50-50 in the sport with them.
Mm-hmm.
But I think I'm totally accepted. I mean, when I enter the cage, I think I will be 100% accepted in age and in gender mm-hmm. because by then I think the girls would probably take over the UFC.
Now, you're in school, correct? High school?
Yes.
Okay. Typically, people are cheerleading. Typically, people are running track, playing basketball. Is there any other sports you do? And then what do people think about you training to be an MMA fighter from your school?
Oh, no, I don't do any other sports. I'm full out MMA. But
dedication.
People are shocked that a girl my age and my gender would be doing the sport. They would expect me to do cheerleading or volleyball or something girly like that. But honestly, I want to be different from the others. People sometimes call me weird or they don't fully accept what I do. But when I get to that point where I'm the champion, then I can look back and they can see me actually going somewhere in my life other than them. But overall, most people accept it. Most people are shocked by it. But when it comes down to it, when I'm the champion, then they'll finally see why I do those sports.
I mean, in the short term, you can kick their butt, too.
Yeah, you're going to make a hell of a hall monitor. Right. I mean, you're going to stop everything happening in the halls.
Now, let me ask you this. Yeah. You're just starting off in high school. You're a freshman, correct?
Yeah. Sophomore.
Are you a sophomore?
No, freshman.
You're a freshman. Okay. So what you're not doing cheerleading. You're not doing anything like that. But academically, like, what are your favorite subjects? Like, when you graduate high school, you are going to be doing MMA and all stuff like that. But if you were to go to college, like, do you have any idea what you might want to study?
Jim wants to know what your backup plan is because everybody needs
plan. Not that.
He's playing high school counselor. Anyway.
Yeah. Have you considered a career in welding?
No.
My one backup plan, if I get injured or if I somehow, God hoping not, lose my passion for my sport, I'd like to go into business, like learn business, and hopefully my name will be out there by then where I can open up my own gym. Or if that doesn't work out, I love science, so I'll probably go into that, but my second choice would be business.
Good. Business,
science
is very solid.
Science needs women too.
Here's the toughest question you're going to get tonight. Are you more excited to make your debut in MMA or get your driver's license?
Oh, MMA all the way, man.
You don't even care about the driver's license. You like MMA.
No, that's a generational thing. These kids don't care about their driver's license.
They don't care no more.
No.
What?
Right. No. Your friends probably don't care about getting your driver's license either, do they?
No, they don't.
See?
They're just trying to pass high school.
Oh, yeah, the youth of today. The youth of today.
Yeah, you're making us all feel real old.
So how often, at somebody your age, how often are you training? And you did bring up injuries. I mean, that would be terrible if you were to get injured before making an MMA career. Have you guys taken steps and precautions to make sure that when you are sparring that it isn't anything that, you know, is detrimental at this time?
I do take, sometimes there's that point where you do feel like you got injured, and then I take a break for about 2 or 3 days after that, try to rest and see if it's anything, you have to take a long break from or anything like that. But other than that, you just have to be cautious a little bit. But other than, like, at my age, I don't really get that injured often, so I take advantage of it and go out full force in training. I train like 5 days a week, whether it's home or my gym or anywhere. But of course, you have to be kind of cautious when you train with the heavier guys or the harder training guys. But other than that, with my age and my technique, I think I can go full force without getting injured that much.
Well, you've got the right idea by taking advantage of it when you're young. When you're Jimmy's age, just getting up out of a chair, you can throw a hip.
Exactly.
And then, like, you're like, well, no more chair sitting for me for the next couple of weeks. So take advantage of it while you can.
Now, I was surprised that you said there's no other sports. I know that there are some females that wrestle at school. Wrestling is such a background in MMA. Have you thought about joining the wrestling team at your high school and being a female wrestler with the men's team? I know some females have done that, but wrestling is the takedowns, the positioning.
Yeah.
Ben Askren, one of the best I've ever seen, was a pure wrestler. Have you thought about maybe joining the wrestling team and trying that also along with training MMA?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I thought about it. My school personally doesn't have a wrestling team, but I thought about joining the other high school wrestling team. It's been a thought on my mind. I'm thinking about it. I really put it in my category of the next step in my career, learning my ground game more. Yeah, it's definitely an option in my future. I'm thinking about it a lot.
Now, are you at all worried about cauliflower ears at 15 years of age? Because, like, I mean, it's a part of MMA and everything like that. We've all seen them. Randy Couture makes everybody sick in the studios. Is it something you're aware of?
Yes, and I have them, so I'm not. I'm not.
So you wear
them? I have them.
You wear them with pride, though.
Yes.
Awesome.
It shows that I'm a fighter and I kick your ass. So.
Yes. Now, see, that actually, I was going to ask about this, like, you. As far as, like, if you wanted to do some wrestling, whatever, you consider just, like,
like putting on a pretty little dress and like going into like a gym somewhere and like letting everybody get a particular idea about who you are, and then just and then just like whipping some dude's ass, just like throwing a beating on him. I would like to see that. And if you chose to do that, please let me come videotape it, because we will, that thing will go viral.
Yeah, definitely. I think, would.
I think that's what you kids say these days, viral.
And yeah. I'm under the impression you're only going to be able to date boys from that sport, because I can't imagine dating a girl who would pick the fights for me, like at a White Castles or something, yeah, where like somebody's like, what are you going to do about it? And then your girl just gets up and like floors them.
Yeah, well, it'll be like
you couldn't show face.
Yeah, right. Well, I actually, I would love it. You know, if a guy gets breathing in me, I'll be like, dude, I'll have my girlfriend kick your ass.
And he's
like,
still eating your cheese sticks.
Right. So I'm sorry if I missed it at the beginning. Like, your parents are supportive of like, did they get you into this? They're supportive of you doing it and everything?
Oh, yeah, definitely. My my father and my mother are very supportive. My father's actually the one that got me into the sport. He's always loved the sport. He's always watched it from the beginning. He never thought I'd go off into this direction of the sport. He just wanted me to do it for self-defense at first, but once I said that I wanted to do it in the future, he full-on supported me, and my mother supported me, and I got full support from my family, so...
Well, that's good. Well, your dad supports it mainly because, like, that's one less thing for him to worry about.
Right.
And you're right. Yeah. Like now you're like, you're getting like, you're like, right. Boys are going to be like wanting to take you out and stuff if they're not already. And like, dads worry about that type of thing. But your dad's like, yeah, she's got it. Don't worry about it.
Right. And I can talk. My son's an athlete in baseball. He's 11. So younger than you. But there is always in the back of every parent's mind that it could be a good retirement plan. I mean, I'm just being honest, you know, like, you know, if Aiden's to take off in baseball, that's a couple less years of work for me.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, you're going to take care of your family. When you trained with Amanda Bobby Cooper, we'll close on this because she's a good friend of the show and we love having her on. What did she teach you? I don't want to know what she taught you physically, but what advice did she give you? Or what'd she talk about? Obviously, she's a badass female. What advice was she able to give you?
She's an overall amazing fighter, let me tell you that. It was an honor to train with her. And overall, her advice, her main advice, she just gave me new combos to work on stand-up. She said my stand-up's phenomenal for my age. My groundwork, she personally kicked my ass in, but she has a wrestling background, I believe. So overall, she commented mostly on my stand-up. She really liked my jiu-jitsu plan, everything on the groundwork. Overall, I think it was a really good training session. She's a phenomenal fighter, and I learned a lot from her that day.
All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us. Do you have a fan page, anyone that can follow your career, Abby?
I don't have a fan page, but I actually have a personal Facebook that I will gladly accept your friend request.
All right. That's Abby Ewing.
And what is that? Where can we just search up your name? Or
Just Abby Ewing.
Okay.
It's my regular name.
Yep. Okay.
All right. Abby, best of luck. Stay in touch with us. And then 3 years, Jimmy will be 43, and we'll be checking on you for your debut in MMA in Indiana.
All right, thank you.
All right, take care. That's Abby Ewing.
All right.
As we were saying on the break, is that you know, Pete Rose is the example I'm keeps coming to my head. Learn to be left-handed because you're two. As a left-handed hitter, you're two steps closer to. It's just amazing if you had that much time, and she has another 3 years. You could really develop.
Oh yeah.
Oh gosh. Well, yeah. I mean, you think about it. Like, you know, what's the average age that most people start in MMA? Right? Probably
20,
18, 21, 19,
22.
20, right.
Yeah. Now.
So she's got six. Well, really more than that, because she said she started martial arts at nine.
Right. So she's got the stand up strong.
Right. So, but like, even like, you know, even at this point now, like, she's gonna have 6 years on them already.
Right.
Like when she is, you know, This is going to sound so good. When she's legal.
Right.
Like, she's not, like, right. Like, she's got 6 years under her belt already.
Yeah.
Like, I know that's an amateur career.
I know, right? there's
so much more time for injuries to happen.
Well, that's a mom right there. That's a mom.
We talked about
that.
That
is a mom.
You got to watch out for that.
Well, that's what I mean. I mean, she's still growing.
Yeah. Well, Jimmy wasn't in the room, so I don't think he heard it, but she was talking about being young. Like, she isn't as worried about injuries. And I pointed out that, like, when you get to be Jimmy's age, like, you can throw a hip standing up.
But,
so.
But the other difference is, at her age, she will also recover faster.
Correct.
Well, no, that's what we're saying. That's what she was saying.
Yes.
And you learn stuff easier.
Yeah.
I mean, if you were to teach me, like, a new operating system now, it stinks.
Yeah.
But if you would have taught me at 15 in high school, I could probably take a computer
apart.
Because
there's nothing you have to unlearn.
Right. So she's learning huge concepts in jiu-jitsu stuff that is going to go here, where you're trying to teach somebody older, and it's like, these are tough to grasp and everything like that.
Well, your body just doesn't move.
I did want to touch on this.
Well, there is that too.
I did want to touch on this really quick before we call it a night on episode 206. Once again, happy birthday, Jimmy.
Yeah,
What about this clown phenomenon? This is great, dude. It's a hoax. I love it. Love it.
No. What's that?
It's a hoax. I love it. Well, everyone's doing it.
It's marketing for it. For the new that's coming out.
It doesn't come out for a whole nother year.
Whatever. Now's the time you start this stuff.
No, this is what I think. This is what I think
happened. Didn't one get shot?
I think, no, that was a hoax.
No, that was a hoax.
That you got rolled. Everybody thought that was real.
No, I don't know.
It was
I love it.
It was a fake news site.
Here's what happened, okay? There was a legitimate guy dressed as a clown who was trying to do bad shit in, I think it was North Carolina or South Carolina or something like that. People then saw that news story and decided to start making fake videos of them seeing clowns everywhere, which then led to more copycats who are just going around, standing around as a clown. They think it's funny to try to scare people. So now it's gotten out of hand because the media has blown it way out of proportion.
But Jimmy, can it be like people like you that weren't qualified enough for clown school that are just now rebelling?
Did you flunk out? Which one?
I didn't go because I couldn't afford it.
I thought you make it in.
No, I made it in. I got accepted, but
still
I couldn't afford it.
Still my favorite part ever in any episode.
But anyway, if it was a legitimate, if they were a legitimate clown, they wouldn't just be standing around in the woods or anything like that. They would be like getting from their car.
They weren't good.
Well, here's
it
the
doesn't
thing.
Matter.
The thing is, Jimmy, I don't think anybody is worried about them being a legitimate clown. I don't think that's the worry.
Well, and here's the thing. And
I'm gonna be honest with you. If I look out the window and there's a clown standing on my front lawn or looking in my window, 9mm right between the eyes.
Just
all right.
Them.
That's
ask them first what kind of clown they are. If they don't say a goose, grotesque, or tramp, then shoot
them. They're going to be a dead clown is what they're going to be. Now, again, let's go over this really quick again. I'm not afraid of them. I just don't like them.
All right. We'll see everybody next week. It looks like we have Antonio Wade for sure. He's going to be in studio. And
he never got back to me.
And Rochelle's working on Darren. So we'll see each other next week. 207. Take care.
Happy birthday, Jimmy.
Happy birthday, Jimmy.
This is a previously recorded episode.